goal to say that we're moving towards having, you know, a more diverse staff, and that we're going to maybe put efforts in place that are those type of efforts. And I had a whole, I could even send to the committee, I listed all the things I could from what they went over as what their strategies were. But it's obviously been effective if they went from 5% to 38% in 1 year. So
38% of the new hires?
Yeah, so 10 out of the 26. And they
26
said
new hires.
26 new hires.
How many did
see,
we
that's
have?
That's a perfect
like
way to do this, Chris.
Right.
If we say, we don't know whether you're going to have any openings to fill, so we're not going to judge you on anything
right.
here.
Yeah.
Right.
I think we say, if we have, if at the
develop
end of the year we say,
yeah.
you've
like,
added,
a plan.
We've added five people,
develop a plan.
20% of them this year need to be a diversity candidate, whether it's mm-hmm. Hispanic or African American or handicapped, whatever it might be. Because every time you a leader goes out to find people, they want the best, most qualified people, regardless of the color
right.
of the skin.
Correct.
And it's hard to enforce this diversity. If it's important enough to the board to say that's one of your the way we're going to judge you, then it's going to make him think long and hard about it. I got five people here I'm hiring. I want to make sure I have diversity applicants that qualify.
Eligible, qualified, right.
Exactly. It would drive us to do things differently. You know, to advertise in different mm-hmm. places. Mm-hmm. To
that's what it was mostly about.
Right, right. I agree with that 100%.
Right. Right. So how can we work? Okay,
just
so
develop a plan.
Just develop
so, okay,
a plan.
So,
we're not,
so number
we can't
one,
hire
can we add number seven?
We can.
Okay.
We can make board priority number one and board priority
yeah.
number two.
Yeah, and so I guess is that I looked at sort of the board goals here that we came up with, and I feel like everything in our goals is somewhere loosely mm-hmm. in here. That's the only piece that's really not.
Can I say something?
Yeah,
so
of course.
So just a few things. I mean, obviously, I'm the only black man sitting at the table, and I'm
correct.
You know, so obviously, I mean, I'm always going to consider diversity when I'm hiring, but at the end of the day, I'm always going to consider hiring the best qualified individuals.
Correct. Exactly.
You know, so I have a huge problem with saying you're going to hire somebody based
qualified.
On
yeah.
race, color,
correct.
Or whatever, or diversity, but, you know, that's always at the fore. That's what I live and breathe every day. It's my life, my struggle, you know? So, obviously, if there's a qualified individual that will add diversity, I think that that's a plus. But also, I would want them to be the most qualified candidate, you know, for the advancement of the school. I think it's more appropriate to talk about maybe building a capacity for the student staff members that we do have or do hire that maybe lack that diversity. To be able to build the capacity to be able to serve diverse populations. And then when we talk about outreach, we're talking about some of the local districts, but they also have the ability to compensate them a little bit better than we do.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about somebody coming and moving down here and what they're going to be making and everything like that. So we really don't have, unless we're going to have a different discussion, about competitive wages
yep.
and salaries to offer to people like the Cape District or another district has. So I think if we're going to talk
okay.
about the conversation, you know, if we're going to discuss this, I think we should maybe discuss maybe professional development or the capacity, which will be something that's discussed in the strategic plan when we discuss about excellence and our professional
mm-hmm.
our professional excellence, or however we worded it, building the capacity by providing training to the staff that we already have to be able to better serve diverse populations that we're trying to attract to the school. But also, if we take a look at the county demographics compared to our school demographics, it's not that, it's almost identical to the county demographics as far as populations when we look at the different races, when it looks at low income. The only difference is the African American population is under what the county is, but everything else is well above, and the Caucasian is below. So I don't think the demographics do kind of do fit that of the county, except for one population that's
I disagree with that to some extent. I understand what you're saying when you help the teachers understand better how to relate to the minority student in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my view is we're looking for something that's much more visual. That if they see somebody succeeding, that's a Hispanic or an African American, as a good teacher, that will have a huge influence on them. That there's a role model, Right now, we have custodians and you as our role models. That's not good enough. We have 45 teachers, or whatever, how many teachers do we have?
Something like 45.
We can do better, and we can't hide behind, you're always gonna wanna hire the best people, but just like recruiting you, we had a couple good candidates that we interviewed. You were the best, fortunately. So we did hire the best regardless of skin color, but it was a great benefit that you were black. And I would think that if it was a tie, when you're interviewing people, say, this guy's qualified for this reason, she's qualified for that reason to do the job, but she's a black woman, that's a good thing. And I think if we really mean what we say, we want diversity, then you've gotta do, you gotta step on it a little bit. You can't say, well, just hire the best person, and hopefully one day they'll be black.
But some of that's out of his control.
Yes.
We're limited by the applicants.
Well, I think it's just about casting.
We need to work at the applicant pool.
Right, that's right. What's not out of control.
If we're working at that and we're not getting the applications, then we didn't do a very good job working at it.
Let's be more innovative in how we're actually seeking these people, how we're bringing people here, how we're approaching the applicant pool.
Mirroring what Lauren said.
I feel like we have had to, you know, we've.
That's where you target the.
And I think with the establishment of their human resources office, we have somebody that can be charged, you know, we have an extra person now that can help with those efforts that, you know, with us all wearing many hats, sometimes it's easier to just go through, you know, the avenues you know to hire versus putting the time, but now we have a new office that can handle that. And you know, and just like you said, Joe, when you said if you have a black person or a person of color and a white person for a job, then it really isn't a tie because that person of color, if they're equally qualified, then that person of color is going to have that much
bring
more
in that
through
much
diversity. And also we have to understand, it's easy to talk about bringing people, but just for the same reason students don't go to schools, people of color don't go to work at certain schools because just like, you know, there's those cultural differences. And build that capacity or show, you know, you're kind of showing that you're building the capacity by talking about bringing in training for everyone so that a person of color might be comfortable. I've had conversations with people that wouldn't even put their name in a hat for charter school of Wilmington or this school because of the staff demographics.
Right.
So that's also a conversation that's, variable that's out of our control, is who's going to apply based on the perception, how they perceive us already. So there's just a lot of variables there.
Yeah, just the hiring of the individual is not going to make us a diverse
it's
school.
It's the inclusion part.
So I think that's to Eric's
it's diversity
point.
And inclusion.
It's the education of the community as well. It is building the capacity that is something we're putting our money where our mouth is, because I think part of developing a plan is demonstrating this is how we're going to invest in that because diversity is that important.
Right.
It does take, that is an area that does take financing. It just does. So if we're gonna say it's important, then we have to really look at the big picture of how important it truly is, not just hiring individuals or advertising that we wanna, you know, hire outside of white females.
So based on what I'm hearing from everybody, that our goal should be for diversity in coming up with a plan for the professional development and expanding how we advertise for qualified employees and what if that program that CAPE is doing.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of suggestions that they had.
And then we're not saying, oh, you got to hire five, but I don't know if Joe's.
All right, so can we come up with a, can you guys come up with a,
yes.
We can come
and is everyone.
I don't have a vote number.
Does everyone.
Yeah, you're not allowed to say, Joe.
Does everyone
just
feel comfortable
rouse.
Adding that in as a goal?
Then fuck that.
Okay.
You want us to draft something with Eric or send it to you guys?
That would be great.
That would be great.
Do that? So we'll work with you and we'll draft it.
So then we don't vote on this then until next month? Or should we vote on it pending?
I mean, we're already almost halfway through the year if we're waiting.
Yeah. You really do need to.
Yeah.
I think we can capture the essence of what's being said. I'm pretty confident.
Okay.
So maybe we vote on it with the
yes
inclusion of. All right. So I make a motion that we accept the executive director's performance appraisal with the addition of a second school board priority to include coming up with a plan on professional development and inclusive professional development, on inclusivity and on
diversity.
Diversity.
We'll get the wording.
I second.
I'll second.
Broad. Jen second.
But I would like to say publicly that the work that you and I guess you two did,
and Debbie Feast too,
to put all this down on paper so it's more understandable than just words through the air, it's a great effort, and thank you for doing that.
I second that.
Okay, I'm sorry. So we have a first and a second.
You got a second.
Oh, God. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All right, let's take a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Abstention? Okay. Motion passes. All righty. Moving on. HR? We already talked about HR. We added,
We went, I think we were just going to introduce Franny, but I did that in my...
Yeah, we did that already.
And we're working, just an update, we're working to develop the policies. And Shanta, Shanta's going to get with us as a board member who's an HR leader to make sure that everything's aligned with doing things the correct way. So, but yeah, we are moving in shape.
All right, board presentation. So we put this in here because one of Eric's... habits or
so we had talked about the possibility of bringing school groups in to present to the board on what's happening, if there's something going on that's really exciting and you guys want to hear more about it. So we want to start getting that rolling for November. So if there's anything that you really want to see our students present on, or teachers or anything that's going on in the school that you want to hear more about, have guests at our board meeting to present, send an email to me and let me know if there's anything, anything that's on your radar.
I like to see the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I like
that presentation
cool.
when they went to South America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
It was good.
I just think it's great for students to be here to see the board at work. It kind of brings them into the school governance world a little bit, and we, it's it goes both
great
ways.
For me to see the product of why
yeah.
so,
sit here.
So
right.
Sarah, since you're here. I know that there's been a lot of revamping with homecoming and good student government and everything like that. So maybe we say we have some of the SGA officers come and present in November, kind of the things that they did this year so far. Okay, there we go. So student government presentation.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Okay.
I think for all of us, Jen, who are not current parents here, This is like we could be having this meeting anywhere else because we don't really touch base with the people that we're trying to help, whether it's the teachers or the students or the programs that we have. So I agree that this is a very important thing for all of us, but I think the parents have a much better grasp of what's going on in the school because they're here for athletic events and so forth. But some of us are beyond that, and I would love to hear more from parents and teachers and whatever. So I agree with it.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe at the beginning. Right, but yeah, I wish they would. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right.
I'd like to see some of it. I think that's a grant, but not.
Yeah. Maybe like one. Maybe the clubs too. The different. Because I think we have all kinds of new clubs now, and the kids could come in and talk about what the clubs are up to.
Nice.
All right. Our last item under new business is a solar opportunity. Lance, you again.
Yes. So Jen turned me on to Constellation Power through her contacts, and Constellation is part of Pepco, which is like part of Delmar Power, blah blah blah. But they have like a public commitment to develop solar projects within the Delmarva region, and they have a commitment in Delaware to develop 5 megawatts of solar projects. And they identified, they're identifying different institutions, commercial properties, schools, and whatnot to be, take part of this. And so they reached out to Jen and contacted me to investigate the opportunity. Essentially what they do is they come in, they would install a 1 megawatt solar system on our facility, either rooftop or ground mount, at no cost to us. It's called a PPI, which is like a utility contract that you would get into with the Constellation at a fixed rate. And they would lock that rate in for 20 years. It doesn't cost us anything, and we would then essentially use that electricity created by the utility first, and then we would just buy from the utility what we are currently buying right now. So a 1 megawatt system would potentially produce 1.2 to 1.3 megawatts of power. We currently are consuming roughly 1.7 megawatts of power per year at a tune of $150,000. So some preliminary calculations, they said they would be fixing us in at 6.5 cents per kilowatt hour. Currently we're paying around 9 cents a kilowatt hour. So it's like a 2.5 cent savings per kilowatt hour multiplied by 1.2 million turns into 25 to 30,000 dollars per year in savings at no cost to us. So I talked to him about like what other things they could do, you know, being that we're a school, and is there any interactive displays or things that we could tie into that with a STEM program to learn more about solar and renewable resources. And he said, yeah, they would kick in and throw in like a display and a data acquisition system that we could put in our lobby that would show how much power is being created currently off the system. We could use that data to tie into schools. It's web-based.
That's pretty cool.
And also they have a, they've done this in other schools in Prince George's County. They have a, what they call a solar toolkit. It's an educational toolkit that they will give us that has all like displays and meters and all kinds of stuff that they would give us for free as well. So I didn't commit to anything, but I wanted to bring to the board to see. First one is if we're interested in investigating it further. If we voted to say it makes sense that we would investigate it, then they would come out and do a site survey, find out where we could install the possible system, design it, come up with final contract in terms of numbers, and then I would then be able to present that for approval. They want to move fast on it because of they have to get this thing done by December of next year, because that's when they have to have it done by. So if we get approval to move forward with the investigation, they could then get everything lined up for the end of the year. It'd be installed around June and it would be up and running. But you know, to have a $20,000 to $30,000 set savings rate, because
that's impressive. The rate is locked
that
for 20 years.
Fixed. So
20 years.
So
you're banking on the fact
exactly.
that the cost
power
is going to increase.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So there is an escalator built into to it that's 1% a year. So they increase their fee by 1%. And I did an extension of that. So even at year 21, it's still 8 cents. So it will go from 6.5 cents to 8 cents. But it's still under the threshold of what we're paying
correct,
right
now.
Right.
Over 20 years, from 6.5 to 8.
We don't do anything. They maintain it. They own it. At the end of 20 years, we have the option to extend the contract at the same rate for another 5 years. And then after that, it's...
Or we could say, you know what, we're
out.
Done with this, take it away. At their expense, they come, they take it away, they return the property to the condition it was in before.
So the current thought is that the drainage plane that we have behind the storage building
solar up through the water
swamp
is where we would locate this system on piers. I do need to get in touch with Sussex County Conservation District just to make sure that you know the water infiltration and stuff isn't isn't impacted, but they have done installations in wet areas before. I have already made them aware that during a rain event, it does hold water. They would make sure that it's above that board. I think
from a financial standpoint, it's a no-brainer, but I also really love the actual environmental piece of it too, because if we, with a pathway, were to move towards something more in terms of environmental sciences, I just think the whole solar, it just opens up a are any other schools around here solar? Like, come on, this is like a...
I mean, we have solar on our
areas,
It's not visible for one, and we don't have any kind of data acquisition displays or interactive nature to it, so I think it would be
pretty cool. Be great.
So can we make a motion to explore Constellation Power option opportunity?
We can.
Motion made.
Sounds like you just made a motion.
Motion made. Denise Westbrook, motion made.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Marty.
Just one other thing associated with that is if you have a solar installation, there's a, it's called an S credit, SREC, and it's essentially for every 1,000 kilowatt hours that you create, you get one credit, and this credit is a commodity. Essentially, you can sell it back, and the other businesses have to buy them, big companies have to buy them, they have so many green credits or whatnot. In Delaware, they're pretty much worthless. There's no commodity for them. Every state sets their own sort of rate. But there is a bill in motion, there's some things going on with the state that are possibly going to bring that S credit thing back and bring the availability of those in. He said they will give us all the S credits. So typically what happens when a company does this is they'll go in and like Solar City will go into your house, they'll put a system on your house, and they take all the S credits because they use that to pay down their ROI. But they're going to give us, we'll own all the S credits. So if for some reason in 2 years, the credits go up to $40 a credit, we can then sell those credits as income coming in as revenue for the school. So that's another plus. I mean, they could be worth zero forever, but it could be worth some money.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
No harm in the
fact. That's awesome, Lance.
All right, so we have a motion.
This is straightforward for profit.
We have a motion for, Denise made a motion for us to explore, for Lance to move forward with exploration. Marty seconded. Any further conversation? All right, let's vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Okay, motion passes. All right, great. We do have something to discuss in executive session. So,
so you just have to say why we're going in. I have to connect you here somewhere.
I make a motion that we go into executive session under.
That was section 10.004, subparagraph 9, personnel matters.
May I have a second?
A second.
Okay.
Steve Burke.
Okay. All right. So effective 5:43, we are in executive session. To adjourn.
Make it again.
A second. Sorry. Hold on.
Good.
I make a motion to adjourn at 6:06. Second?
Susie Mitchell, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Did you? Did, did.